want to spend my life mending broken people. I want to spend my life removing pain. Lord, let my words heal a heart that hurts. I want to spend my life mending broken people. I want to spend my life mending broken.
Hello and welcome to 3ABN Today. I'm Jason Bradley and I'm so glad that you've decided to join us for this power-packed hour. I'm going to be talking to Merrick Brown. He's the host of Knowing Tomorrow Today podcast and he's the author of Knowing Tomorrow Today. And I want to share this text with you. This is taken from Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 11. It says, "For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope." Merrick, welcome to the program. It's great to have you here.
Jason, thank you so much for having me.
Yes.
Great to be here.
Yes. Now, Knowing Tomorrow Today, I can't wait to talk to you a little bit more about the book and the podcast and find out what got started first, the book or the podcast. Mm-hmm. But before we go into your testimony and all that, we're going to be blessed in song by Justin Nearcorn, who will be playing The Savior is Waiting. Beautiful song. You know, Merrick, I had begged my mom. I took piano lessons from about 5 to 8, and I begged my mom to let me quit. And every time I see somebody playing the piano and doing it well, I'm just like, man, I really wish I wouldn't have quit that.
Listen, Jason, it's never too late, man. It's never too late to take up a skill or, you know, an instrument like that, like a piano or a guitar, whatever you're interested in.
Absolutely.
You know, so that's what I'm looking at it.
I appreciate the encouragement.
Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you. Let's find out a little bit about your background. What was your upbringing like?
My upbringing was really awesome.
Okay.
You know, I grew up on the island of Jamaica.
Nice.
Right? So not in Kingston. Most people, when you say Jamaica, they think Kingston, which is the capital of Jamaica.
Yes.
But I grew up in rural Jamaica. And that was a wonderful experience because we had a lot of freedom.
Okay.
You know, we lived in a community where everybody knew your name. Everybody knew your parents.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody knew you. Especially for me, my dad and my mom, they were teachers in the community that I grew up in. So,
okay.
So everybody knew Merrick, right?
Yes, yes.
And so it was really free, right? Because, you know, you could go to the rivers, you could go to the springs, you could, there was a certain level of freedom, there was a certain level of happiness about it.
Yes.
You know, it was wonderful. I had a lot of friends,
mm-hmm,
you
mm-hmm.
know, and we went on a lot of adventures. It was just awesome. I think that was one of the best points in my life.
Yes.
Just growing up there as a young person in rural Jamaica. That was wonderful.
Absolutely. Now, you said your parents were teachers.
Mm-hmm.
Were they ever your teacher?
Oh, you want to go there. My mom, actually, she was my teacher in the fifth grade. And
okay.
I always say, that was an experience.
Yeah, what was that
like? That was
like?
An experience because what happened is that, you know, in Jamaica, they had this thing called the Common Entrance Examination, which you would actually take in the sixth grade.
Okay. Now,
that was a big deal, right? Because you needed to pass that exam to move on to high school.
Mm-hmm.
And so for me, I had to do that exam twice as a teacher's kid.
Yes, yes.
Which
yes.
was something. So my mom was, in the fifth grade, my mom was expecting on me that she wanted to make sure I passed. So she would actually call on me and, you know, it was something. You
yes.
know, so I never, even today I joked to her, listen, that was an experience. I never want to go through that. Having your mom to teach you. And,
yes.
and she knew what homework you needed to do, right?
Oh, yeah. There was no getting out of that.
Yes. Yes. Mary, did you cover your homework? And she was going to call on you first.
Oh, yeah.
You know, when classes resumed the next day. So it was something. It was awesome.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Now, what was your faith like growing up?
My faith, you know, the good thing is that my parents,
mm-hmm.
they were both Christian people,
okay.
leaders in their church. And the thing is, I have two sisters, and my parents, they ensure that my sisters and I, we went to church.
Mm-hmm.
All right? And so we had to go to church. My dad, actually, he's a Presbyterian leader.
Okay.
My mom is a Seventh-day Adventist. So
now, well, how did that work for you?
I don't know. I don't know. They've been married. This year is going to be, I think it's going to be 48 years.
Okay.
They have been married and they've managed to do it some because my mom would actually go to church on a Saturday.
Okay.
And my dad went to church on a Sunday.
Okay.
Right. So, you know, for a long time, you know, initially though, my mom as a, you know, young boy, my mm-hmm. mom actually took me to her church.
Okay.
You know, but as I got older, I started to go to the Presbyterian church because that's where a lot of my friends from school, they attend the church there. So
uh-huh.
I kind of leaned into that. But yeah, you know, parents, they were very faithful people. They are very faithful Christians. You know, my parents, in terms of their spirituality, were just tremendous.
Mm-hmm.
My dad, actually, he directs two choirs. Him today is in his late 70s.
Okay.
And
okay.
he directs two choirs in two different churches.
Wow.
You know, and he's the leader on several committees in his church, you know. And so just a tremendous example they set for me.
Yes.
You know, never heard them quarrel. They never did it before us,
mm-hmm.
anything like that. They would always try to have devotions,
mm-hmm.
you know. And so, yeah, I was blessed, to be
yes.
honest with you, just growing up and having parents who, you know, were just all about me knowing Jesus.
Yes.
And praying for us and just being positive in mm-hmm. the way how they led by example and also served in their community. So, yeah, just awesome. Even today, you know, again, they're in their 70s. And my mom, they live in, there's a city called Mandeville in Jamaica.
Okay.
And they drive from Mandeville, my mom especially, she drives from Mandeville to her church in another part of the island, like maybe like 50 miles away.
Wow.
You know, and so she does that faithfully every Sabbath. Mm-hmm. And I would say to him, Mom, listen, you need to slow down. You know, you need to actually go to a church that's much nearer. Mm-hmm. But she's one of the committed leaders there. So she's married. It's very, very important that I be there to help and to mentor the next leaders in the church. So
Your parents, it sounds like your parents are some movers and shakers.
They're not about sitting down. They're all about getting out there, doing Christ's mission.
Yes.
You know, spreading the word. Mm-hmm. And one of the things that I love about my parents, I don't think I ever told them this, but they love people.
Okay.
They love, you know, broken people. People are hurting. People are who are in need.
Yes.
I would see my mom just growing up going the extra mile, mm-hmm. just to help somebody who would need a meal, you know, clothes, or whatever it was, right? People would actually come to her home, right? And my mom would reach out to them and help, and you know, in any capacity that she could. So, man, I had this tremendous, Jason, this tremendous example of serving and serving Christ.
Yes.
And he never left me.
Yes.
You know, he never left me. And just looking back mm-hmm. at that, you know, I just really, you know, appreciate my parents.
Yeah.
You know, I go all over the United States and I meet people who actually went to school, the school that my parents were teachers.
Oh, wow.
And they will say, listen, man, I just love your dad, what your dad did as principal and what your mom taught me in the fourth grade or the fifth grade. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I've never forgotten the values, you know, that they shared. And, you know, typically in Jamaica, I don't think we have that in the United States. My dad, they, in a school, they would have devotions.
Okay.
Right, before classes actually begin. So mm-hmm. they would have, you know, somebody who would come in and do a musical item.
Yes.
And then they would have somebody bring a word of encouragement,
mm-hmm.
you know. And so, you know, somebody was saying to me, I met somebody a couple years ago, I've never forgot that devotional aspect.
Yes,
that
yes.
Mr. and Mrs. Brown, that they, you know, they shared in their ministry mm-hmm. and in their service in the school. And, you know, Jason, growing up, you know, your parents tell you that you can't do this, you can't do that.
Yes.
And you don't really appreciate that.
Uh-huh.
But as you get older and as you mature,
yes.
and you look back and you say, wow, those are really awesome people.
Yeah, and you learn the reasons why
exactly.
they said it's not because they don't want you to have fun or anything
right.
like that, or
right.
they're trying to limit you.
I know.
It's for your protection. Now, I know that, you know, growing up, our relationship with Christ has to be our own. Now, our parents can have a great relationship with Christ,
mm-hmm.
but we have to make it our own.
Mm-hmm.
How did your parents, well, I guess I should say, what was your relationship like with Christ? Outside of your parents, mm-hmm. what was your relationship with Christ?
Well, I could honestly say, like, you know, growing up, like, as a young person, like in my teens, I did not have a relationship with Christ.
Why do you think that is?
I think part of it, you know, as we know, as Christians, mm-hmm. we know a relationship with Christ means that we are in His Word,
mm-hmm.
right? We are communicating with Him in prayer. We are serving.
Yes.
And so I didn't have that relationship per se. I didn't know Christ as a personal Savior. I wasn't praying mm-hmm. and doing all these different things. As a matter of fact, just growing up, I got bored with church.
Okay.
You know, it got to a point when I was in my teens that I actually stopped going to church.
Oh,
and part of that, you know, I started to do a lot of science courses.
Okay.
In high school and mm-hmm. began to study evolution, read a lot about evolution,
uh-huh.
and began to question the Bible on different things and doubt
mm-hmm.
this God that I've grown up with. You know, I still cherish the whole idea of service, but didn't have a relationship with God. I read a lot of science fiction. I was big into science fiction.
Gotcha.
Star Trek, The Next Generation, a series mm-hmm. that a lot of people are familiar with. I was a big fan. And I remember one time my mom was trying to have devotions on a Friday evening. And my Star Trek Next Generation program was actually slated to be airing at the same time. And I got really mad.
Yes.
You know, my mom, she turned off the TV and she's like, no, you know, we're going to have devotional time. So I didn't have, you know, I didn't talk to Christ. Mm-hmm. Part of the thing is, for a long time, Jason, the only book that I actually read in the Bible was the book of Revelation.
Okay.
Right.
Okay.
So it was like really fascinating for me. So when I was 11, 12, I wanted to know what the symbols meant
yes.
in the book of Revelation, these mysterious symbols and all these different things. But I didn't read Matthew, I didn't read Mark. I mean, you were told by your parents mm-hmm. to recite certain things and all that. But no, I didn't have a relationship with Christ. I actually went to church to see my friends.
Okay, okay.
You know, to see the girls.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You know, mm-hmm. you see a certain girl there that you like. And, you know, we have in the Presbyterian church, we have something called youth fellowship.
Okay.
And so it was a social gathering, so you would actually go there. So didn't have a relationship.
Yeah. So the values were misplaced there. But it's interesting that you spent a lot of time reading Revelation. And, you know, God took your love for science fiction and the different things, and he showed you truth in Revelation.
He did.
It's not science fiction in Revelation, I know. But it could appeal to that side of you, which is absolutely amazing. You know, I'm thinking about the church that you grew up in, your mom's church. We actually have a picture of that.
Right. Okay.
This is the remodeled version, right?
Yeah, that's remodeled version.
Yeah, for sure. And the inside there, that's a nice church. That's a really nice church. So you were going to church for the wrong reasons, and you said the young ladies, your friends were going to the Presbyterian church and all of that stuff. When did you initially decide to say, you know what, I want to spend time at my mother's church?
Okay, that's the Seventh-day Adventist church. So what happened was that, my mom, she basically would buy religious books.
Okay.
From different, we call them call porters. And so, you know, she had all these different books, books like a book on the life of Christ called The Desire of Ages, A Great Controversy. She would also have her, what we call the Sabbath school Bible study lesson.
Yes.
And she would have it. So I'm a voracious reader. I read everything. So everything that comes in the house, I'm reading it. And so I would actually go through her Sabbath school Bible study, right? And I was like, this is fascinating, you know, and just going through that. What really struck me, though, there's a book, I think I mentioned the book, The Desire of Ages.
Yes.
And just reading through that book on the life of Christ, I was like, wow, this author has unusual insight on the life of Christ. And so what happened to me was that I decided, listen, I'm going to check to see, because, you know, there were different scriptural references there.
Yes.
I was like, let me check to see basically if what this author is saying is actually in the Bible. And so over time, I began to, you know, just reference from that book, The Desire of Ages, and check, you know, scripture. I was like, wow, this is amazing. And I began to be drawn to Jesus, right? And so I was shifting from, I didn't leave the book of Revelation or those other, you know, books that I was reading, but I began to be drawn to Christ.
Yes.
And I was like, wow, this is awesome. This is awesome. The other aspect too, my mom, you know, she's a leader in her church. She's very persistent, you know, and different folks from her church would come and they would witness to me about the Seventh-day Adventist church. And they would tell me, hey, listen, you need to keep the seventh-day Sabbath holy. And so for the life of me, I'm like, why should I keep the seventh-day Sabbath holy? What's the point? And let me tell you, a part of, you know, in the Seventh-day Adventist church, you know, we go by the Bible and we talks about, you know, we shouldn't eat certain stuff, like, you know, certain meat and stuff. And they were saying, Mary, you shouldn't eat that type of thing or that, you know. And so, you know, they were witnessing to me. I mean, my mom even invited some of the pastors from her church to share with me. And even my dad, too, even today.
Yes.
Yeah, and share with me. So they laid, you know, they're always saying these interesting stuff that, I was curious. The other thing to JC is that my mom, whenever they would have a evangelistic series. Now, one of the things I love about the Seventh-day Adventist Church, it's a missionary church, as you know, right?
Yes.
And these people are always proclaiming God's word.
Amen.
And calling people to Christ, right? And so in Jamaica, there was a lot of tent meetings.
Okay.
So what these folks would do, basically, Jason, they would set up a tent in a certain area in the community. And they would invite an evangelist to come in, like Glenn Samuels. You may have heard of Glenn Samuels before. And he would proclaim for like 4 weeks.
Wow.
And so, four weeks back then, right?
Yes.
And people would come, right?
Yes.
People would come. So they would have the bullhorns outside of the tents. And people would actually come from the community and listen.
Wow.
Some people who didn't come, actually, they could hear from their homes, right? And so the striking thing about it, and, you know, when we came, my dad and I, they would acknowledge us and just the music, there was something special about the music in the church and the word, you know, that was being proclaimed that was like, wow, this is special, you know? And so what I really loved, even today, I've noticed that in that community, whenever they planted a tent, right, they would always, after the series was finished, they would actually plant a church. in that spot. You know? Yes. And I'm like, wow, I mean, what kind of Christians are these folks?
Yeah.
Right? They had these meetings, they would plant a church.
That's
right?
Huge.
And so even as a, you know, non-believer, I believe, I was like, wow, that's awesome. That's special. And Jason, these people didn't have a lot of money. You know? These are, you know, poor people, as we say in Jamaica.
Mm-hmm.
But they made sacrifices for the gospel, for God's word, and it was just so awesome. A part of the reason, too, why I you know, for many years I drew away from my mom's church was that, you know, that church, they started to build that church in the 1970s, I believe.
Okay.
Right? And it took them probably 40, 50 years to actually complete that church. You know, and initially they started out with dirt floors, you know, and they didn't have any windows, and the seating was basically benches on blocks, on building blocks. So I didn't want to go to that church, you know. I'm like, that's a poor church.
It came a long way from that picture we saw.
I know, I know. So, but over time though, they're persistent. You know, they're witnessing, and just the literature, and that was pointing me, Jason.
Yes.
To God's word, I was like, this is special. And I was convicted.
Uh-huh.
I was convicted even as I was in my Sunday church, my Presbyterian church. And I'll tell you this, even when I was 17, 18, 19 years old in the Presbyterian church, I was a youth leader.
Okay.
And we had a drama group there, and we were ministering to folks, you know. And, you know, the minister at one point said, hey, Merrick, it's time. You're a youth leader, right?
Yes.
It's time that you commit yourself publicly in baptism and connect permanently with the church. And I was like, man, with what I know, what I've been reading, you know, in terms of what the Seventh-day Adventists had been sharing with me, I was like, man, if I was going to get baptized, it would have to be the Seventh-day Adventist church, at that point. So, yeah, that's how it was.
Yeah, so you started seeing truth.
Yeah.
And you were searching the scriptures.
I was searching.
And then you saw, you know, the action that was taken in Jamaica with people being, you know, the tent meetings.
Yes, people are coming to Christ.
I really love that because, you know, the tent meetings for 4 weeks and then them planting a church in that location.
Exactly.
So all the people that were coming, they were already familiar with this area.
Mm-hmm.
And so they were like, okay, well, we're familiar with the message now.
Mm-hmm.
We're familiar with the area. Well, let's go to church there.
I know. Yes. And my mom, you know, she was instrumental. Just a tremendous person, leader. She led a lot of folks to Christ through those meetings, and she would always be inviting folks.
Yes.
Listen, you need to come and you need to hear the message. And as a result of that, that church is called the Litchfield Seventh-day Adventist Church there in Jamaica. It has grown by leaps and bounds.
Praise God.
You know, it has been a blessing to many people. And, you know, later on, I got a chance to go back and to actually preach in that church.
Yes.
And I met a lot of people who used to witness to me.
Yes.
And people shed a lot of tears.
Amen.
They were happy. They were praising God that the one who was, because I was really hard-hearted, Jason.
Yes.
Very, and the one that who persistently pushed back was now proclaiming God's word with passion and exalting Christ.
Yes.
They were excited. And so whenever, you know, we typically want to go back to Jamaica at the end of Christmas time.
Okay.
And whenever I go, they say, hey, is Mary coming? We got to have him preach.
Yes.
Because, you know, they've seen God answer their prayers.
Yeah.
They were praying for me.
You preaching is a testimony.
It is.
It's a testimony in and of itself.
It is. Because I was very stubborn. In terms of God was trying to use them for a long time, and they were praying for me, and to see someone eventually come to Christ, and wanting, having a passion to lift the banner of Prince Emmanuel to the highest.
Amen.
They were excited, man.
Amen.
They were excited. Yeah.
Now, have you seen like some of your old friends and stuff, people you grew up with that you went to school with?
Oh yeah. I'm still in touch. You see, one of the great things about the pandemic and social media.
Yes.
Right. You get to connect with some of my closest friends are not Seventh-day Adventists.
Okay.
Yeah. Some of my friends that I actually grew up with
in
my community in Jamaica are not Seventh-day Adventists. They're devoted Christians though.
Yes.
They're devoted Christians. Just really close friends of mine.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember when I, you know, wrote the book. The Holy Spirit just told me, listen, why don't you send a draft of the book? Because it has truth, right?
Yes.
To have, you know, this friend read it and that friend read it, And so I said, hey, I wrote this book. I want you to check it out and to kind of vet it for me. Uh-huh. You know, and they went through it. Yes. I said, Merritt, this is awesome. And they were like, Jason, some of this stuff we didn't know.
Yes.
You know, it was in the Bible. Mm-hmm. You know, so God has given me a chance to plant that seed that he used to draw me to him, to these friends. Yeah,
absolutely. Let's talk about the book a little bit here. Knowing Tomorrow Today. Mm-hmm. Now, what made you decide to choose that title? And also, how long did it take you to write this book?
Well, you know, I'm always trying to, in trying to reach people for Christ, mm-hmm. I'm always thinking and praying and asking, Lord, what would be a sort of title that would resonate with people? You know, people go to movies.
Yes.
Right? And Hollywood is very slick mm-hmm. and very professional about the package and market things. So I didn't want my book to seem overly religious, but to speak truth. Mm-hmm. So I prayed about it, and I was, you know, again, just out of watching a lot of science fiction movies.
Yes.
You know, The World Tomorrow and Knowing Tomorrow and The Day After Tomorrow, all that stuff, right? So I got to pray about and work out that and said, basically, this title would possibly be something that would resonate. So it's coming out of my science fiction, my science training background, mm-hmm. And wanting to connect with people, with what people are actually reading.
Because
if you go in a bookstore, right, a typical Barnes & Noble, and you look at the science fiction section or you look at the romance section,
mm-hmm.
yeah, I wanted the book and the cover
to jump out.
To jump out in the same way as all these people in New York, these marketing teams are mm-hmm. actually packaging things. That's my goal.
Yes.
You know?
Yeah.
So that's, you know, I really thought about it and prayed about it. I had the title like for 12 years.
Wow.
Yeah. So in answer to your other question, how long did it take me? It took me a long time, 12, 13 years. Why did it take so long? I think part of it is that I still was getting to know Christ. I still mm-hmm. was building my relationship with Christ. So I got truth.
Yes.
Right? So I learned about the seventh-day Sabbath.
Mm-hmm.
I learned about all these biblical truth about the state of the dead
uh-huh.
and all this awesome stuff mentioned in Daniel and Revelation. But I think God wanted me Christ wanted me to develop a relationship with him.
Mm-hmm.
So in cultivating that relationship, the book and my relationship with God was a journey.
Yes.
Right? It was a journey. So that's why I think that I think my next book won't take as long.
You're at a different stage in your journey.
So it was a journey. It's the book is basically everything that I learned in Sabbath school.
Okay.
And Jason, I'll tell you, when it comes to the Sabbath school Bible study time in the Seventh-day Adventist Church, that is actually my favorite part of worship.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's where I learned. I remember, recall, as a new believer, in the Seventh-day Adventist Church, we had a small church there in Fort Lauderdale, Florida.
Okay.
Very small, maybe like 20 people or less.
Uh-huh.
And people were asking, we need somebody to come up and to lead out in the song service. Who would do it? Nobody wanted to actually go up. You know, so I said, I'll do it.
I'd be terrified.
Right. Because I can make a joyful noise.
Uh-huh.
But I was excited.
Yes.
You know, just being, and I used to say to people, do you know where you are? And who you are,
mm-hmm.
and how God has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. You know where you are? This is awesome.
Yes.
So I was enthusiastic for Christ.
Amen.
And so I think in the midst of that, you know, just leading out in Sabbath school and actually teaching. Listen, Jason, there was a point in my life as a young person, if you'd asked me to stand before folks or to preach or to do anything, I would be running, man.
Uh-huh.
I would be running. And so, but because I was passionate about Christ and because I love Christ and I want people to know him.
Amen.
I want people to have what I have and the peace, you know, the scripture says the peace that passeth all understanding,
mm-hmm.
you know, that Christ gives us.
Yes.
Yeah. I do it in spite of the fear.
Yes.
You know,
yes.
I do it in spite of the apprehension and the Holy Spirit moves you.
Yes.
Yeah.
You know, I'm fascinated by your journey and your story where 12 years to write the book. I had an uncle, he's no longer with us, he's mm-hmm. resting. But, you know, he used to always say, Jay, you don't lead where you don't go and you don't teach what you don't know.
Mm-hmm.
And that stuck with me throughout the years. You don't lead where you don't go, you don't teach what you don't know.
Mm-hmm.
God was going with you every step along the way of your journey.
Mm-hmm.
And so even though it took 12 years, mm-hmm. it was released when he wanted it to be released, when he saw that you were ready to share these precious truths.
Exactly, exactly. Mm-hmm. And the urgency was, in 2020 we had this pandemic.
Yes.
Right, that affected everyone. And so people began to think and say, hey, what's going on here? What is this pandemic thing? Is this the end of the world? And so during that time, I'm sure you know, I had a lot of Zoom meetings where I was doing a lot of Bible studies and people were being blessed by that. And the Lord impressed me and said, hey, this is the time. You need to get that book out.
Yes.
You need to get that book out. So I decided, hey, listen, I'm going to finish this. You know, I reached out to Brother Clifford Goldstein. He's a Sabbath School editor. And I said, hey, do you know anyone who could edit my book?
Yes.
And he said, why don't you let me do it?
Yes.
I said, really? And he did a fantastic job on that. So, yeah, I was able to get it out. And it's blessed many people.
Amen.
You know, in just its circulation.
Amen.
Yeah.
Let's transition a little bit to family life. Mm-hmm. You're a married man. Tell us a little bit about your wife.
All right. I'm married to my beautiful wife, Marky Rianne. We call her Marky, and we have one daughter.
Nice.
Her name is Zoe.
Okay.
You know, I met my wife. This year is going to be our 10th anniversary.
Wow.
10 years since we've been married.
Nice.
And I could tell you, again, it's a God thing, right? When
Amen.
You meet your wife, because I was praying.
Yes.
I said, Lord, I want somebody who is going to be able to support me and be with me in ministry as we reach out. And God brought her to me, you know. And I'll tell you this, God knows our hearts, right?
Yes, yes, he does.
He knows the type of person who we're looking for.
Mm-hmm.
And God read my heart.
Amen.
You know, don't just, I mean, certain details of what my wife would be like,
yes.
and that person showed up,
Amen.
You know. And so we've been married for 10 years, just an awesome person. You know, she's a physician, medical doctor and stuff.
Nice.
And, you know, God has been blessing us.
Absolutely,
yeah.
Absolutely. Now, how did the podcast come about?
Well, you know, I was not actually planning a podcast, to be honest with you.
Okay.
So when the book was done, again, you know, oftentimes I hear God speaking, impressing me. And that's what he does, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, he impresses us to do certain things and to lead us. And so he impressed me that, hey, it'd be a good idea to actually start a podcast. So
yes.
My wife was, she's big on podcasts. So I you know, did my initial research with her. I was like, hey, you know, what's all this? And she gave me a lot of advice. I went online also. And so, I basically published the book. And at the end of publishing the book, I started that podcast and been putting that out weekly.
Yes.
Ever since, you know, and it's been a blessing.
Amen.
It's been a blessing.
Amen.
Yeah.
What are some of the challenges you faced with that?
You know, part of it, you know, with any ministry that you do, you have to be committed to it.
Yes.
You know, and so basically just, you know, actually producing a program each week, it takes a lot of effort, a lot of prayer, a lot of preparation, you know. And so I basically found different platforms out there where, you know, the podcast could be distributed. You know, I have to be really disciplined because once people begin to connect and to tune, to listen in,
yes,
you know, you, and the awesome thing about it is that God is so awesome, you know.
Amen.
You know, he's so awesome in terms of the messages,
yes,
that he wants you to convey each week. So, you know, Jesus Christ helps me with that,
yes.
You know, each and every week. So it's been really exciting.
Yes.
You know, it's still young.
Not
yet a year old, but we've been touching people all over the world.
Praise God.
I see we're reaching people in Russia,
yes.
Africa, Ireland, of course, the Caribbean.
You know,
so it's, and one of the things that God impressed me to do, so it's like, you know, try to keep it below like 20 minutes.
Okay.
So it's
shorter bite-sized pieces.
Exactly.
It's
something short that people could, you know, with a single message for each week, that people could actually listen into and get a blessing from.
Yes.
You know, because sometimes, you know, people are busy.
Mm-hmm.
And it depends on the format. So God impressed me that, you know, just keep it short and to inspire folks each week with the truths.
Yes.
That, you know, God has led me to in his word. And so, you know, just bringing different biblical, and especially, you know, right now, actually going through a series on the book of Revelation.
Okay.
You know, so, yeah, just going through some of the, and, you know, just reading the book of Revelation, you know that
yes.
there are some very important things
mm-hmm.
that God wants, you know, people who are alive today to understand. People are just living their lives and, you know, not realizing that, you know, God is going to do some very important things, as, you know, in these last days. And I believe that we're in the last days. So it's very important, you know, just using, going through that series and communicating with people, these vital, it's a life and death message.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
It's a life and death message that is being communicated there. So, you know, praying and just making sure that whatever the Holy Spirit, however the Holy Spirit leads me in terms of what I need to communicate, that is important. I do it. So I give God thanks.
Amen.
That I'm able to use this platform.
Amen.
You know, the
Amen.
Knowing Tomorrow Today podcast platform to share his word.
Now, you're also a Bible worker, correct?
Mm, yes.
How did you get started in that, and what made you want to go in that direction?
Well, you know, being a Bible worker, I didn't plan on that.
Okay.
It was in the early 2000s. I have a friend of mine, he lived in Chicago, and he has a passion. And he wanted to reach Chicago, especially the south side of Chicago.
Yes.
For Christ.
Yes.
So he said, at the time I was in Florida. And so he said, listen, Merrick, I need to come to Chicago, to help me. So I was excited, being from the Caribbean, I've never seen snow before.
Oh, yes.
You know, so I'm like, yeah, man, I'm going to go to Chicago. Always read about Chicago, you know, and all the stories. I was excited to go. So went there. It was this very small church, probably had like 20 people there. So,
and so
what happened is that we were going to get, seminary students from the, Seventh-day Adventist Theological Seminary to also help us. And we had an evangelist there. So, I was designated because of the budget to be the only Bible worker who was going to reach, the south side of Chicago, right?
Nope, so No pressure.
So I came there. The series was slated to be done in August.
Okay.
And I came in April. So I didn't even get a year, So I said, Lord, I've never done this before.
Yes.
How am I going to do this? How am I going to? Because everybody's looking to me, even the preacher.
Yes.
I said, Merrick, we're depending on you. Wow. A lot of pressure. So I call up my friend. I have a good friend, he experienced evangelist, and I say, hey, how do you think I should approach this? And he said to me, he gave me a lot of wise advice. Listen, reach out to Amazing Facts Ministries.
Okay.
And also reach out to It Is Written Ministries.
Okay.
And have them give you names of individuals who are studying on the south side of Chicago.
Okay.
Right? So that's what I did. So I wrote up, sent off the Amazing Facts, It Is Written. And I said, hey guys, I need names, right?
Yes.
These are the zip codes, right? And they sent that to me. And so during that period leading up to the series, the event, I actually visited all the homes.
Wow, you visited all the homes
on
the list?
Yeah, all the homes on that list, right? Some of the folks have moved, of course.
Wow.
And it was an experience.
Yes.
Because I went to homes where people were being blessed by these media ministries.
Mm-hmm.
Even 3ABN,
yes.
People were talking about 3ABN, and they were talking about Amazing Facts. And they were watching these series, and they were being drawn to Christ, And, it was something. And the Lord was helping me during that period because there were moments I didn't know what to say. I mean, I had my Bible.
Yes.
I had God, the Holy Spirit was teaching me and guiding me and leading me. And I remember one particular gentleman who was dying. And, he was saying, Merrick, I'm just being blessed. I'm just being blessed by this series, by what these ministers are actually sharing. And, I was able to pray with him and talk with him and stuff. And I told him I was going to follow up with him.
Yes.
I did follow up. When I came back, he had died.
Oh,
he had died. So I give God thanks that at least I was able to, lead him to Christ.
Yes.
And to touch him and to give him that reassurance. And, I was out there. I met a lot of Jehovah's Witnesses.
Okay. Yes. They're quite active.
They were going out two by two. And they were saying to me, young man from the Seventh-day Adventist Church, why are you out here by yourself? And I was like, that's how God is having me to do that at this point. He said, you should never be out here by yourself. And they were right in terms of Jesus sends us two by two, especially in those areas.
Yes.
But I wasn't alone. Because I had a good friend of mine. He's actually, at the time, he was blind.
Okay.
But he was a taxi driver, former taxi driver in the city of Chicago.
Wait a minute. Yeah. Did you just say at the time he was blind, but he was a taxi driver?
Yeah, he was a taxi driver.
Wait, how did that... He wasn't blind when he was a taxi driver.
No.
Okay, that's what I was trying to get
right,
out.
Right, no.
I was like,
no,
wait
he was.
A
but when he had sight, of course, he was a taxi driver back in the day. But then he got blind.
Okay.
He became a believer, and so my friend was the pastor who invited me, hooked me up with Ambrose, is his name. And he would periodically, when I was out there in the field, he would periodically call me and say, "Hey, Merrick, Brother Brown, where are you? Yes. Are you down this street? Don't go down that street." Right, because that's not a good street. So, so he was there with me, and the Holy Spirit was guiding, and it was a blessing. A lot of people came to the meetings. A lot of people were drawn to Christ.
Yes,
and you know, as a matter of fact, Amazing Facts wrote a letter saying people were just saying how they were being blessed by what was happening down
there.
Praise
the Lord.
You know, so yeah, that was awesome. That was awesome. Just meeting all these people. You know, I met barbers. I met, you know, doctors and lawyers.
Uh-huh.
You know, I remember one time I went to this guy's house. I think he was a professor. And he said, "I've been reading the book of Revelation. I have some questions for you. Come right in."
Yes.
And he started to grill me. I said, "What do you think about this book and this aspect of the book and that aspect? Is this Jesus? What does the dragon mean?
Mm.
You know, what does the two-horned beast? What is all this stuff?
Yes.
What is your take on it?"
Uh-huh.
You know, so it was exciting just to have that kind of a conversation.
Yeah, and he was hungry.
He was hungry to learn. He was hungry to learn, you know. So and just a lot of people out there, you know. But it was a rough streets, you know, the south side.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there are a lot of dangers. I could see a lot of evil.
Yes.
On the streets.
Yes.
Out there. But it was a blessing, man.
Yeah.
It was really a blessing. And I could tell you, I could encourage anyone, if God is leading you into Bible work or, you know, Call Porter ministry, it will change your life. I remember one time at my church, you know, one of the sisters was saying, what happened to you? I said, "What do you mean?" I said, what has happened to you? Because you are so enthusiastic. You're so passionate about Christ, right? You never seem to get discouraged, right?
Uh-huh.
And I said, "Listen, you know, Christ has brought me into different avenues. He's allowed me to bless and to touch different individuals. And he's real.
Yes.
He's real for me, you know. Actually, also, while out doing Bible work in Chicago, I got a chance to go to be in Benton Harbor, Michigan.
Okay.
Right?
Uh-huh.
And, man, Jason, I've never seen a town like Benton Harbor.
Yes.
I mean, some wonderful people are there.
Yes, yes.
Right? But a pretty depressed place, you know, drug inflicted place and stuff. And I got to knock on several doors, talk to several people there. It was awesome.
Yeah.
It was awesome. And, you know, just out of all of that, I was like, man, and when I was on the streets, I knew I was never alone.
Yes.
I knew I was never alone. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I remember one time just knocking on the door. In the front of the yard, there were several motorcycles.
Yes.
You know, I was like, wow, what kind of house is this? You know, motorcycles. And I was knocking on the door, coming, and went inside. And the guys who were riding the motorcycles were Christians.
Oh.
You know? And they said to me, "Young man, you're out here, you're doing a wonderful work for Christ."
Yes.
Right? And they said, "Come on in, let's pray for you.
Yeah.
Do you want some tea? You know? And sit down and talk, you know? And they were discussing the Bible. You know, these motorcyclists, you know, so it's
amazing.
The places that Christ will bring you and the people that he will allow you to meet, Jason.
Yes.
It's fabulously awesome.
He definitely places people in our path.
He does.
And we have to be willing to go.
And
you were willing to go. And the fact that you're sitting here going through all these different places and having these different experiences is a testament to God's protection, to his goodness and his mercy.
Mm-hmm.
I want to transition back to Knowing Tomorrow Today, your book.
Mm-hmm.
What are some things that people can expect to see in here? What do you cover?
Okay, so basically what I do is in the first chapter, I cover my testimony.
Okay.
And so there's another aspect too, because I mentioned that I'm an avid reader.
Yes.
And there was a time in my search when I got caught up in Nostradamus.
Okay.
Right? So for those who don't know, Nostradamus is the psychic who lived in the Middle Ages, who is said to be able to predict the future.
Okay.
Right? And I remember back in elementary school, that was the first time I heard about Nostradamus. And I was excited. I was like, wow, because I was always curious, always wanting to find purpose and, and meaning for my life. And at the time in Jamaica, there was only one television station, and there was a documentary that was actually slated to air regarding Nostradamus. So I was like, man, I gotta see this documentary. Even though, you know, you have your curfew. Mommy and daddy said, listen, by 9 o'clock, Merrick, bed.
Yes.
You know, you gotta be in your bed. So, but I gotta watch this, I gotta see this. You know, so I remember at midnight actually creeping out into our living room where our television set was, which was a black and white TV.
Okay.
And, you know, at that time, the reception wasn't so good, but I listened in to what this psychic had to say. And so for many years, I was like, wow, this is amazing. Is this guy really able to predict the future? You know, is he really able to tell the future? And so for many years, I held on to that. But then there was this I think it was one of his most famous so-called prophecies of the 20th century, this 1999 prophecy, in which he predicted that in July 1999, the Antichrist, supposedly, would arise from the Middle East. And you remember back in 1999, there was the Y2K scenario.
Yeah, I remember that.
Right? Yes, yes. And people thought that everything was going to break down. So with all of that, supposedly, the Antichrist would rise from that. And so I remember, wow, July 1999, the Antichrist, let me see. And so, of course, July 1999 came and went, no Antichrist. I was like, man, this guy is not for real.
Yeah, false.
He's a false prophet, you know? And so that broke my, you know, fixation with that, praise God.
Amen.
Praise God for that.
Yes.
But what I've discovered, though, is over the years, just researching the book, there are a lot of people who are fixated on this guy. I mean, a lot of very smart people, very intuitive people who are searching for truth.
Yes.
Right? And so just in crafting the book, the Lord impressed me, listen, you got to put this aspect of your testimony regarding Nostradamus there. You know, so I share that in chapter one.
Okay.
In the succeeding chapters, I look at Daniel chapter two.
Okay.
Which I think is one of, Jason, one of the most important prophecies that you could actually look at in scripture, because at the end of the day, as you go through that prophecy, it talks about the rise and fall of different nations through history.
Yes.
And so I was amazed. I was like, wow, this guy Daniel, all these centuries ago, like, I mean, over 2,000 years ago, was able to predict, I mean, God inspired him as a prophet, right? All these things that was going to happen all these years. And I really checked it out and I researched, and it was so, it was true.
Yes.
You know? So I was like, man, I have to include this, Lord. We have to include this and just document the history of it and to show how prophecy becomes history in fulfillment there. So I delved into that. And then there are a lot of people too, because I had these questions. And one other chapter talks about people are asking if is God real? Is God for real? You know, if God is real, why doesn't he just show himself? Show his face. What's with the hiding, God, you know? So I kind of, the Holy Spirit led me to outline that chapter to show that God is love, and to also show that there is a great, there's a conflict, what we call a cosmic war that's going on in the universe, right? I got another book idea this week, but I won't share it now.
Yeah, don't give it away.
Give it away. But the Lord has impressed me and said, hey, listen, I mean, from Genesis, the Bible is really about this cosmic war between good and evil and our need for of a savior, right? So again, I explained that, you know, Lucifer fell in heaven, how that happened, and the fall of man.
Yes.
So basically, the book is the gospel.
Yes.
Right? But it is the gospel with an emphasis for the last days.
Yes.
Right? Because, you know, there are certain things that, as you look at Bible prophecy, and Daniel and Revelation, there are certain things that God wants us to understand. Jesus wants us. I mean, people ask me, what is the book of Revelation all about? And if you go to Revelation chapter 1, verse 1, it is the revelation of Jesus Christ, right? So these messages, even though they're encoded in symbolic language, these are messages that Jesus wants us to hear, to heed, and to understand so that we're not deceived. There's so much, Jason, there's so much deception that is going on in today's world. Absolutely. And Jesus doesn't want us to be deceived. You know, the enemy is all about
deception.
Yes.
Right? You never see him really see him coming, but Jesus wants, you know, the truth to be unveiled so that people
Absolutely.
Can be drawn to him mm-hmm. and to accept him as the only Savior.
Amen.
Right?
Amen.
Because he is the only Savior.
Yes.
You know, people, you know, the enemy is trying to tell people, oh, there are different paths.
Yeah,
to,
no.
you know? Yeah, no. Yeah. But there's only one way. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth,
uh-huh.
and the life. No one comes
yes.
to God but by me. We go to Christ.
Amen.
So it's the gospel. The book is the gospel as inspired by God and just tackling some very important questions
yes.
and just kind of emphasizing the gospel in its last day context. The urgent message that mm-hmm. Christ wants us to understand in these last days.
So now we've talked about the book,
mm-hmm.
we've talked about the podcast,
mm-hmm.
but people at home, they're probably like, well, where can I get this book? How do I listen to the podcast? So where can they get this book?
Well, you can actually get the book anywhere books are sold. They could
okay.
go to Amazon, they could go to Barnes & Noble. Basically, if they go online and they type, you know, you go to Google, let's type in Knowing Tomorrow Today.
That's by Merrick Brown?
By Merrick Brown,
okay.
right?
Mm-hmm.
And they'll be able to see it, they'll be able to purchase it in whatever format. Of course, with the podcast, there is a web. You could listen to wherever you listen to podcasts.
Okay.
Basically, with Apple or Spotify. Again, just type in Knowing Tomorrow Today, and you will go right there to
nice.
The podcast, and you'll see it.
What about your website?
Oh, website. So my website, I have an official website. It's called knowingtomorrow.org.
Okay.
Right, so they could go to knowingtomorrow.org if they want to learn more about the book.
Mm-hmm.
There's also a link in there to the podcast that they can actually listen to the podcast there. So,
nice.
Yeah, it's really exciting.
All right, wonderful. What would you want someone to take away from reading your book?
I think that the main thing is that there is God has given us hope.
Mm-hmm.
He has given us in His Word enough glimpses of the future, of who and to show that Christ, He is the author and the finisher of our faith. Jesus is the future, right?
Yes.
Jesus has unveiled the future, right? And so, just wanted people to have hope—the hope that Christ gives in the revelation of the plans that He has for us. You know, I think you actually alluded to Jeremiah.
Yes,
I can just read it
absolutely.
Here. Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 11 to 14. Just kind of paraphrasing it
mm-hmm.
here. It says, I know, God is speaking, right? So He says, I know what I've planned for you. I have plans to give you a future filled with hope. When you call out to me and come to me, right? I will hear your prayers,
uh-huh.
right? And I will listen to you. If
absolutely.
You seek me with all of your heart and
Amen.
Soul. And that is, you know, there is hope in Christ.
Amen.
God has given us a glimpses of a future that is wonderful and just outstanding.
Amen. Well, I don't want you to go anywhere. We will be right back. We're going to go to a news break, and we'll see you shortly. Well, I can't believe our time is just about up, but Merrick,
mm-hmm.
You know, somebody's at home probably saying, I want to invite him to my church to
right.
speak.
Mm-hmm.
How can they get in touch with you? What's your email address?
Well, they can reach me by, of course, my email address. It's knowingtomorrowtoday@gmail.com, right?
Okay.
So it's knowingtomorrowtoday@gmail.com. If they want to reach out to me, if they have questions about the book, whatever, that's how they can reach
and
me.
And then if they want to go get the book, tell mm-hmm. us that website again.
Okay, so the website is, it's knowingtomorrow.org.
Okay.
So, right, so if they want to learn more about the book, there's a lot of information there, overview.
Yes.
They could go to knowingtomorrow.org to learn more about the book.
Beautiful. What are some final thoughts that you have for our audience?
So I just want to say, you know, just, you know, sharing my testimony here today that God is real.
Mm-hmm.
God has transformed my life, and He's able to transform your life also. You know, Jesus is coming back very soon,
mm-hmm.
right? And He has an amazing future planned for us,
yes.
right? And He wants all of us to be with Him, right? Forever. It's a forever thing.
That's right.
right. And in the book of Revelation, it says, in that new world, there'll be no more pain, no more sorrow, no more death, because Christ will be there. So just want folks to reach out to Christ and to connect with them, with Him, that is,
mm-hmm.
as their personal Savior. Because God has brought hope to my life.
Amen.
And He's bringing hope to so many lives.
Yes.
And it's just been a blessing, Jason.
Amen. So you would say that you've thoroughly enjoyed the journey.
Man, it's been transformational.
Amen.
It's the best thing. I mean, I've mentioned this before. It's the best thing that has ever happened to me in my life.
Yes.
I sense God leading and directing my life.
Praise God. Well, so thank you so much for coming on. Thank you for the dedication, the time you put into this book. We want to thank you for joining us. Make sure you make faith your own. Until next time, God bless you.